What it is. Welcome to the Roarcast podcast, episode 37, all about burnout. This is your host, Justin, along with
Lauren Porter
from Lindenwood University first year programs. Man, we are so happy to be here with you. It is week 9 here on campus. Crazy times on campus for sure. But hey, it's October.
Yeah.
Spooky season.
What are you going to dress up for Halloween?
You know what? In the department, we did the whole pool thing to see like what everybody's going to, we're doing holiday themed. It's on the 4th of July. I thought about going all the way back to Revolutionary War soldier time and like getting a whole Revolutionary War suit. But yeah, my wife kind of was like, man, let's not do that. I'm like, no, okay. So I guess I'm not being a Revolutionary War soldier because I don't know. So I'm working on it.
I'm May Day.
How do you celebrate May Day?
Have you never heard of May Day?
What? I don't even know what the costume on May Day would look like.
It's a white dress, and then I'm going to hand out May Day baskets.
What is even a May Day basket?
So May Day, basically, for those of you who don't know, is my birthday. And also, it is a day where you go to a person's house, you knock on their door, and leave a basket called a May Day basket. And then you run away. If they catch you, then they kiss or hug you. Because it's basically a way to like tell your crush that you like them. It's really cute. I've been doing it since I was little.
This is how COVID spreads.
Wow.
I just ruined it. I'm sorry. My bad.
I'm still going to be May Day for Halloween.
Can we just, if you catch them, give them a high five or a fist bump?
What's wrong with the hug?
I mean, nothing, but you know. Some people aren't huggers.
I wasn't planning on making out with everyone today.
Wow. All right. Anyway.
Little weirdo.
May Day. Awesome.
Thank you. But then what about for actual Halloween?
Don't know.
You don't know?
I don't really have an actual Halloween costume.
What about your family costume?
We haven't done that in years. One time we did Scooby-Doo and the gang and it was awesome. I was Shaggy. Yeah.
It was. That's fantastic. It was fun. For Halloween, I'm going to be The Rock Johnson with the iconic like black, long sleeve with the chain and the jeans.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm going to be for Halloween. And then I'm also going to be Winnie the Pooh.
Nice.
Cause I have a red bodysuit and some yellow pants and I'm just going to carry around some honey.
Yeah. That's what you need to do.
And well, cause here's the thing.
I could be Eeyore. Well, I don't know, Lauren. It'll just fall off again tomorrow. Oh.
Dude, I love Eeyore. I have a little stuffed animal of Eeyore. It's a baby Eeyore. And then I'm going to Disney World for Thanksgiving break with my cousin.
You just went to Disney World.
I went to Disney World a year ago.
Has it been that long?
Maybe 2 years ago.
It hasn't been 2 years. You were just there not too long ago. You were in the Magical Kingdom.
No, it was after Dead Man's Cell Phone, which was my sophomore year.
Oh, wow. I thought it was just like recently.
No. But yeah, no, so I'm going to get another Eeyore cause my Eeyore was from 2019 and its stuffing is like really, really sad.
It's probably a collector's item. You should hold on to that.
It's a sad Eeyore. It's a real sad Eeyore. I've used it a lot. It's my pillow every day. I put my head on it. It's very comfortable.
Well, you know, Halloween's fun. Costumes are awesome. October though is a busy, busy month, right?
Absolutely.
It's right before... we just got out of midterms. It's right before, when really the holiday season starts kicking in, which means everything's trying to get shoved in there before the holidays hit.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to get stressed out and burnt out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going through it. We were just having a conversation with a friend today who was talking about, time management, priority management, and there's only 24 hours in a day, but there's so much to do. And really I think people get tired, and I know from the fact that I'm in the classroom because I teach two classes, this time of year is also when I start seeing attendance drop, and students are just tired, and it's hard for them to want to get up and go to class because they're burning the candle at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what has been your experience with burnout? Now that you're a senior, you've probably gone through burnout a few times as a student, And what has that been like for you?
Well, before we talk about my like experience, I think it's important to understand the difference between stress and burnout.
Awesome. Yeah.
So for example, if a student is assigned a big project, they may feel stressed and even overwhelmed while working on it. When the project eventually comes to a close, the feeling of stress will subdue or subside. Feeling stress can be difficult and it may take some time to find relief, but knowing that it won't last forever is what makes it healthy and normal. On the other hand, burnout is the accumulation of stress that a student may have disregarded over a long period of time. Like, for example, waiting until the last minute to do an assignment that is worth 100 points that it's going to take you 6 hours to do. The buildup of the stress causes students to fall into a cycle of negative emotions and eventually withdraw emotionally, intellectually, and physically from their classes.
So it's the buildup of stress over time.
Yeah.
Constantly dealing with stress over the semester, over the last 9 weeks of the semester, and now it's just culminating to fatigue and feeling tired and just really, I mean, there's signs for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the signs that you're seeing out there?
Exhaustion, feeling really tired a lot, and not both physically and mentally, just exhausted. You'd feel like you don't have enough energy to do that assignment. You don't have enough energy to hang out with the friends. You don't have enough energy to take care of yourself. You're just exhausted. Another thing is lack of motivation and interest. Burnout among college students usually leave them feeling emotionally and mentally drained. And once that happens, it's really hard to find that motivation and interest in different things at the university. Lack of creativity and concentration. I know for me as a theater major, when I was doing my final for drafting class, I was real burnt out. And it took a lot of effort for me to get through doing the drafting class because it required a lot of creativity. And when you're burnt out, your creativity is not where it normally is.
So let me ask you this too, because I kind of know where you're at as a senior. A lot of seniors start feeling, get that senior fever, right?
Senioritis.
Yeah, senioritis, right?
Yep.
So senioritis, burnout.
Same thing.
Together.
Yep.
Yeah. Whew, that's a lot.
It is. I'm going to be real vulnerable right now. I am real struggling.
Yeah.
Because I can't. Discussion boards might be the death of me. I legit cannot do another one. I cannot sit here and be like, okay, hypothetically, what would happen if your volunteer decided that they didn't want to volunteer anymore for an event that they already signed up for? It's like,
yeah.
Well, deal with it when that happens. Like, I don't understand why we need to do this hypothetical scenario. And we then have to respond to how other people's point of view is. Like, how would they handle, like, how would each student handle this different situation? And then we have to be like, oh my gosh, that is such a good idea. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're gonna be like, no, that's a terrible idea. Because that is, that you don't do that.
I mean, the initial questions that may get asked, I know are probably designed to evoke reflection and thought. But then it's the responses that are like, not genuine.
No. Right?
Because people are just trying to get through the assignment.
Yeah.
So I get it. I mean, I struggle with those online discussion boards as well. Because
they're dumb.
Especially if you are required to respond back to every single person in your class.
Yeah. I hate when that happens.
Like, part of it's to build community as well. But
it's an online class. There's no community. There's no community.
And that's the only way they know how to build community is through discussion boards.
I know, but there's no community.
I get it.
Online classes are, everyone survive on themselves. Don't ask questions. Like, it was so funny. In my master's class, there was a group of people. There's like 6 or 7 of us. And there's like always one or two people who was like, this link did not work to this assignment. Or this link did not work to this reading. Is anyone else having these issues?
Yeah.
I'm like, this does not need to be an everyone conversation. Email the teacher and they'll be figured out.
Yeah.
And also, it's a reading assignment. Just don't read it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, what happens is this burnout we're talking about and the stress that's on top of it, right? Because you're also teeter-tottering two worlds, right? You've got the on-ground classes where it's kind of easier to have that conversation, to get answers to questions. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to go jump onto this online portion where it's more difficult to get the answers you need. And then the stress just starts to mount and the frustration starts to mount. You can't, the link isn't working. And that just becomes a molehill into a mountain of stress. Because like, oh my gosh, I just need this to work. Right. Yeah. And I don't have somebody I can turn to instantly to get an answer. Because, you know, some people respond quicker than others to those types of situations. So I get why students may throw it out there to the whole group, because they want that camaraderie of being like, yeah, I've got this issue, you know, and that's where they're trying to find solace in that, that stress or that situation.
I'm just saying, on online classes, it's every survivor for themselves. Okay. This is not a group effort. We have to do a group project for one of my online classes. And I was like, that's funny.
That's hard.
You really think that's a good idea? Like, who thought that was a good idea?
I think sometimes too, and I mean, we're now talking about curricular design in a way.
Yeah.
You know, which
I have a lot of issues with it.
I think some of it is, it's really hard because people take online classes out of necessity sometimes because they don't have the time to meet in person to do things like
group projects. Or your degree has decided all of a sudden every single class that you ever want to take will be online.
And that's kind of, COVID did that to us in a lot of ways, right?
I know.
So we, through that experience, we're able to see what we can do and what technology allows us to do. Is it the best curricular design ever? That's in question, right?
Yeah.
So I think the big point of it is, regardless if it's online, regardless if it's on ground, it's how we're dealing with the stress in the moment of the things we're dealing with, right? Because either one of those experiences could possibly be a better experience if we were able to deal with the emotions we're going through at that moment in time. And for some of it, we're just tired, right? Again, it's only week 9, but it feels like it's been a really long semester.
I swear, this is week 18.
And I think mental health plays a big part in this too, right?
Yeah, like, we're about to go into the winter.
Right.
And as we know, once the sun goes down, so does emotions.
I mean, seasonal depression is real.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it every year. It's always, I think at one point, actually, my first Disney trip was actually after I was like really struggling mentally. It was my junior year. And there was a huge winter storm coming our way. And so my mom is not a spontaneous person, may I point this out? But one day she's like, she heard about this storm and she's like, no, we're not doing it. We're leaving. So she booked a flight to Florida and then we book a flight to Disney World. And we go to Disney World for 3 days.
That's amazing.
She's just like, neither one of us can handle another storm.
That's awesome.
So like, I understand that's not possible for everyone, and we have work, and we have lives, and we have school that we have to go to. And seasonal depression is a thing, and I think accounting for that and being, like, a little bit more empathetic with yourself and being like, look, the weather has changed. It's getting colder. It's getting sadder. Like, that's just the reality of how our nature works.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, what helps you during that time? Like, what have you found to be beneficial in getting through that? Besides booking a flight to Florida.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm a big temperature person. Like, I am a big temperature person. So I'm okay if it's cold outside. Like, Alexia's favorite story of me is at one point our freshman year, she was coming into Reynolds and I was leaving Reynolds. And she was in a parka and some snow pants and some boots and a jacket and a sweater. I left the dorm in a shirt and a t-shirt, or a t-shirt and some shorts.
Now, Alexia, all right, is one of our friends, one of our student workers in first year programs from Bolivia.
Yeah.
Right? Lauren's from Nebraska.
Yep.
So a little context there.
Yeah.
Right?
But it was so funny because I don't care what it is outside, but as soon as I get inside, it has to be like 72 to 78. Like that is my peak temperature. So I bought a heater last year because my roommates wanted it to be 68.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no. So
I remember the temperature debate from last year.
Oh my gosh, I cried. I was like, you wanted to be 68? How dare you? And then I was like, Lauren, you have money. You can buy yourself a heater. And I was like, you're right. So I bought myself a heater and now I have it and I have two blankets. So being able to be warm in the area that I live in is really important for me, as well as like being active. Like working out has been really helpful.
That's good.
Because like it keeps me motivated because you're not walking outside anymore. It's too darn cold. It's 20 degrees. You're not going to do a 10-mile hike on a random Tuesday. Like, that's just not what you're going to do. So working out has also been really helpful. Another thing that's been helpful is talking with friends, being social, being active. Because oftentimes in the winter, we don't really want to go out. We don't want to do things because it is so cold. But I think it's important to go and do things and keep ourselves not just in our dorms, not just in our houses, but at going shopping, going to a restaurant, just doing things that make you feel happy. Yeah. And I think that also applies to burnout. Like, oftentimes when we're burnt out, we don't feel inclined to go hang out with friends. We don't feel inclined to do our homework. But I think setting realistic goals for yourself and being like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with my friend for 30 minutes. Like, I'm going to see if any of my friends are available and we're just going to hang out for 30 minutes. And then after that, I'm going to do homework for 30 minutes. And then after that, I'll watch an hour of Vampire Diaries. Like, it's just setting realistic goals for yourself and being empathetic with yourself and being understanding that right now is a hard time. And right now is right now. It's not forever. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Seasons will change. Burnout will change. It's not going to last forever.
Yeah, I think what's important about that is, again, back to the comment I made earlier at the start of the show about talking to our friend about priority management and time management, right?
Yeah.
We all only have 24 hours in a day, but we all have priorities, different priorities we got to get done. You've got to be a priority.
Yeah.
So when you're making and you're going through your list of priorities, you have to make your well-being a priority. Mm-hmm. And whether that in one day is 5 minutes of just time to just breathe and center yourself, mm-hmm. or, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah.
If you can prioritize that, regardless, you need to prioritize time for yourself. And I think that's how you work through that burnout. That's how you work through that, you know, seasonal depression, work through all those types of things. I was just reading something here that's really interesting because it's like, is burnout the same thing as depression? And this is from the Cleveland Health Clinic. And they say the symptoms of burnout can often resemble the symptoms of more serious medical conditions. This can include mental health related mood disorders. Oftentimes burnout and depression can mirror each other. Mm-hmm. But depression is a diagnosable mental health condition where burnout is not. That's not the only difference. In contrast to depression, burnout tends to be a response to a specific environmental situation. Where depression doesn't necessarily have to be in response to anything.
Yeah.
It can just happen. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just think that's really kind of interesting. So friends, if you feel like you're going through what might be depression, could also be burnout, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Talk to a therapist, talk to a friend, talk to a counselor. Again, here on campus, we have the Student Counseling and Resource Center. We have the You Will program where you can call somebody and have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to go through these feelings alone. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. No, it's when it comes to depression and when it comes to seasonal depression and when it comes to burnout, you know, it's hard to identify as the person going through it, right? You're like, oh, I'm having all these feelings, but I don't know why I'm having all these feelings. Like, when I go through my depressive episodes and when I go through my seasonal depression and when I go through burnout, I am rarely the person who's like, I think I'm going through a burnout. I'm going through a depressive episode. It's more like, hey, buddy, you're not doing well. Like, maybe you should go talk to your therapist. And then I talk to my therapist and she's like, okay, yep, here is what you're experiencing. Your emotions are valid, but this is probably the reason why. Like,
yeah.
When I'm during tech week, we at the office just know Lauren's going to be a little bit more emotional because it's a stressful time.
Yeah.
And that is stress. Like, that is purely stress because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's a week and 3 days or sometimes 2 days because then we open the show and I have nothing to do with that. I'm like, hands are clean. Y'all have fun.
But until then, there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of things you got to get done, a lot of conversations you're having, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
And it will burn you out really quick.
It does.
Yeah, I get that.
But also, if your friends are going through this, if you notice a friend is going through burnout or if you notice a friend is struggling, have empathy for them. Have patience with them. Let them have their emotions and validate their emotions, but be supportive for them. Because we can't do this alone. And eventually you might go through burnout and you'll need that friend to be there for you.
I think part of this too is, you know, burnout exists because of a consistency and a pileup of stress, like we said earlier, right?
Yep.
And a lot of times that stress is within the same category, right? Yep. So you're building up stress because of the academic rigor in which you're going through. Mm-hmm. So some things that I've seen in regards to helping to alleviate that is to remove yourself from that rigor. Mm-hmm. Find a hobby. Focus on something different that's outside of the normal realm of what you're doing.
Okay.
So if all that stress is being piled up because you're so focused on your academics and you're so focused on the world of just even being in college, mm-hmm. what's something you can do outside of that world? Something that is completely different to really just refocus your mind and refocus the habits in which you have found yourself in that is causing you to spiral into that burnout.
Like yoga or knitting.
Yoga, knitting, swimming, biking, whatever it is, right?
Shopping.
Shopping. Yeah. I mean, anything like that. Flying a kite. I don't know. But
let's all fly a kite up to the highest height.
Beautiful. Singing, karaoke, whatever that might be, to just kind of really remove your mind from that continual and constant, monotony of what you're going through. And that also, you know, mindfulness is a really important thing too. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness is really being present in your emotions. And that can come through just taking a moment to breathe. When I teach my class, my first year seminar class, I teach two of those classes in a week. I start the conversation every single day with, let's take a deep breath on three. Ready? 3, 2, 1. And just in that moment in time, right, that's probably the first time that entire week that many of those students have actually stopped to take a concentrated deep breath. And even when I do that, I realize that's the first time in the week that I've stopped to take a concentrated deep breath.
Yeah.
And there was really, just even when we just did it just now, there was a little bit of stress that just kind of relieved from my chest, right?
Like, yeah.
So just taking some moments, especially in the days that you're feeling that fizzle, right? Stop. Take a deep breath and continue on, right? And stack that on top of take a deep breath. Okay, I'm going to go do my hobby now, right? Do that for a little bit and then come back into this world that you find yourself in. Because I think what's hard for college students too is the fact that a lot of you live here, sleep here, eat here, study here, work here.
Yeah, right? We don't leave.
Your life is here, right? So how do you step out of here for just a little bit to just kind of get that relief that you need?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important concept to keep in mind.
Yeah. If you have a car, my biggest advice would also be drive. Just drive for just 20 minutes. My freshman year, I was really struggling with burnout. And so sometimes I would just get in my car and drive. I wouldn't know where I'm going. I wouldn't know where I'm ended. I needed to be away from campus and I needed to be away from my roommates and my suite mates. So I just drive and leave. It was fantastic.
And if you don't have a car?
Walk.
Walk. Go take a walk. There's
go bike. Go scooter.
There's places around that you can just go. I think for some reason, to me, getting back into nature can soothe the soul.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just go sitting by a tree and just taking in, you know, the breeze blowing by, the crackling of the leaves, whatever it is to just, again, center yourself.
And at Lindenwood, we're really lucky because just not even a mile away, we have a beautiful park over by Main Street that has a ton of walking areas, biking areas, and it's like a circle. You just walk and walk and walk, and you can do that for hours.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, too, maybe you just need to talk about it. Talk about how you're feeling.
You will.
allow yourself to talk about how you're feeling. Allow that vulnerability to set in. Mm-hmm. Know who your support network is. Reach out to them when you're feeling that way. Don't wait. Again, remember, burnout is the culmination of stress over a large amount of time, mm-hmm. right? So if you are not releasing that stress in a healthy manner through either exercise, a hobby, conversation, something new, it's going to culminate mm-hmm. and you're going to fizzle. And then you're not going to want to get out of bed. You're not going to want to go to work. You're not going to want to go to class. And you're going to start seeing things being negatively affecting your life, which is going to culminate to do what? Add more stress. That's going to cause additional burnout that could lead to something more serious like depression, these types of things.
Yeah.
So got to stay on top of it, mm-hmm. right? And that's easier said than done, and I get it. But there are things that you can do. And there are proactive things that can take place, right?
Yeah.
Like breathing, right? Like trying to eat healthier.
Get just vegetables. Like just maybe one. Yesterday I was terrible, but I had some cauliflower and it was delicious.
There you go.
That was my vegetable for the day.
Right? Drink a glass of water.
I have been better at drinking water.
No, I'm horrible with that too.
Like, yeah.
I need to drink more water, but.
All I've had today is a Celsius. Maybe I should drink some water.
You know, just a glass, just a glass. But any other thoughts on that, Lauren? Anything else you can think about?
The only thing I can think of is that everyone eventually goes through this, most likely. I don't have statistics on this, but in my article, it said 80% of students feel burnout. And so this is a very common feeling that everyone is having in college. And so I think it's important to just know that you are not alone and that your feelings are valid. Your stress is valid. Don't let anyone tell you that your stress is not valid, because it is. Like right now, I have a friend who is super busy and he's juggling a bunch of jobs. And I'm the opposite. I'm having a slow period. And sometimes he's like, I wish I was you. And I constantly tell him, I wish I was you. And so both of our feelings are valid, right? Both of us are feeling really stressed that either we don't have enough to do or we have too much to do. Right. But just accepting and validating each other is what keeps us connected and what keeps us motivated to keep going through even our hard times.
And I want to put this out there too from a faculty staff perspective. Mm-hmm. We feel burnout too. And
our entire office feels burnt out.
And there is not that much difference in the life cycle of the student experience mm-hmm. to the faculty staff experience. What you're feeling, we're kind of feeling at the same moment in time, right? Lots of responsibilities, lots of things to get done, want to make sure everybody's taken care of. And it's been culminating for the entire 9 weeks of the semester, for some of us longer, because we've been really, really busy since onboarding of students. So, and we just keep looking ahead to when's that first holiday break?
Yeah.
Right. So I think, as a community, we're all going through it. We all can need and can talk about it. Nobody is walking this experience alone. There are resources, there are people, there's a network around you, wherever you find yourself. Maybe you're listening to this podcast and you don't go to Lindenwood University, and that is perfectly fine. The things we're telling you right now are things that are legit wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. Find that support network. Find those friends. Find those people you can confide in. Find those areas that you can go center yourself. Find those hobbies that you can get your mind off of the mundane routine of everyday life, and you'll get through this. Trust me.
Yep.
So we're about at time.
All right.
Again, we're going to try to do our best to center our thoughts and to be present with our emotions. Take a deep breath, friends, and tune into the Roarcast podcast next time. We don't know what the next topic is going to be. We're going to figure it out, though, along the way here. But this was episode 37, all about burnout. Give me your best roar, Lauren.
Roar.
Grr. Yeah, so, we love the fact that we get the opportunity to bring this to you all. Thanks so much for joining us again. This was the Roarcast podcast.